Keith Johnson, who is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. Yesterday, we talked with Keith at length about the Detroit schools and the union and how they were trying to work with the emergency manager situation. Now we're going to attack a few different areas. Keith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, in some news that broke late yesterday, that's where I'm going to start with you. What did you do when you heard that Attorney General Bill Schuette filed a lawsuit late yesterday to have seven Detroit school board members removed from office, and he also asked for immediate injunction to block future action by the board, claiming the district is now too small to have 11 members? What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, as a citizen of the city of Detroit, I am infuriated and appalled by the nerve of the Attorney General trying to infuse himself further into Detroit's operations. The fact of the matter is that at the time that those school board members were elected, we were considered to be a first-class school district. Now, subsequent to their terms ending, if we do not meet the tenants to have 11 school board members, that is the time for a restructuring of the school district to take place. But, you know, I was just appalled by his nerve. And we know that it's motivated by his attempt to prevent the school board from exercising its powers that are part of the Supreme Court decision from last week that set aside Public Act 4. It means that they now have control over academic matters for Detroit public schools. And even for those who may not submit to the belief that Public Act 72 should be resurrected, with it or without it, the school board makes decisions on academics. So I think that the Attorney General needs to stick to what the Attorney General is supposed to do, and that is to be the chief law enforcement officer for the state of Michigan, not infuse yourself into local politics.
All right. Now, in a quote that I found this morning from the Attorney General, he says that the children of Detroit have been receiving second-class educations for far too many years. And I quote, the Detroit Public School Board has failed the students of the city of Detroit. It's in a story that's in this morning's Free Press. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, as you and I discussed yesterday, I did not hide from the fact that for some of the reasons that I articulated yesterday, we know that Detroit Public Schools has not provided the quality of service that this community has a right to demand. But I think that we also have to look at the fact that some of those intrinsic cultural inhibitors I addressed yesterday with some of the social problems that our children come to school with, the issue of truancy and transiency, the instability of leadership since 1992, all of those are contributing factors, but I don't deny the fact that we have to improve what we are doing. But I also point out the fact that we have a number of our students who graduate from Detroit Public Schools and go on to live very productive lives. But as I said yesterday, if we don't address those cultural inhibitors, if we don't address the issue of safety and security, whether you're talking about Detroit or any other community, education will suffer.
Keith, if I was to play devil's advocate, I'd say, you know what? We've given the folks who are in charge of seeing that the kids in the city of Detroit get a quality education. You've been given years and years of time. You can't get it done. We're tired of it, and we want someone else to give it a shot. What would you say to that?
We've had 17 different people who've given it a shot. Keep in mind that since 1999, with the exception of 2.5 years, Detroit Public Schools has been under the auspices of a state takeover. So if we're going to talk about giving somebody else a shot, even the state has had its shot. The emergency financial manager who preceded Roy Roberts, Robert Bob, had a shot. Roy Roberts has now had a shot. Ken Burnley, David Adamany, all had a shot during the time that we were under a state takeover. So I don't want to hear this business about you've had your turn because the state had its turn.
Why can't anyone succeed? There's been so much failure.
Well, you know, as I indicated yesterday, we've had this perpetual blend of fiscal mismanagement where we have not optimized the use of our resources. We have not put the classroom first. We've had the instability of leadership where every time somebody came in, we had to acclimate ourselves to their academic plan. We do not have an attendance policy for our students. So conceivably, you know, you take this into account, Tony. In 2009-2010, the average Detroit public school student missed 46 days of school. My members cannot teach children that they do not see. Yet the district does not have an attendance policy, so therefore it is conceivable.
How can that be, Keith?
Because the powers that be have never, never, ever developed an attendance policy relative to our students. Every community that surrounds Detroit has an attendance policy relative to their school system. And if students do not meet their quota of days, or if they go beyond the allowable absences, they lose credit. So we could have a student that misses 46 days of school, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, Tony, I know of principals who have told teachers who gave failing grades to students because they were not there, look, you got too many student failures. Give them some makeup work so they can pass. That is disingenuous to everything that education is supposed to represent. It is unfair to those children because you're moving those children along like you're moving them along an assembly line. We have to get away from being concerned about failure rates in terms of promotions and graduations and get more concerned about how well are we teaching our children what they need to know. And if they do not meet certain benchmarks, they should not be moved to the next grade level, period.
You know, Keith, this isn't hard. I mean, all you have to do, there's plenty of fine quality school districts in your area. It seems like all the power should look around and see how they're doing it, do it and get it done.
I'm not in disagreement, Tony. But we've had people in leadership who said, well, you have to take into account so many of our children come from single-parent families. So many of our children come from families that are poverty-stricken. That's not a new phenomenon. We've had single-parent families since the beginning of time. We've had people who lived in poverty since the beginning of time. But we established a standard of accountability both for them and for us. And we held to it and gave those children an optimum opportunity to be successful. But, you know, you cannot go around making excuses as to why you cannot get tough on educational standards. And a lot of people think that the DFT and other teacher unions are opposed to accountability. The truth of the matter is we embrace accountability. We want accountability. But in order for you to have accountability, you must have consistency.
All right,
that's among the things that has lacked.
Two more questions for you. We're talking with Keith Johnson, who's the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers, on a Tony Conley Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. Keith, what's your take on charter schools?
I think charter schools have become an overly convenient option. I think that when you look at the Michigan Department of Education's own statistics relative to the success of charter schools, you will, in comparison to traditional public schools, the state's own statistics show that charter schools are not performing as well as traditional public schools. The fact of the matter is, in most instances, they're serving the same children that have the same problems. The only difference is that they have the option if a child is not willing to conform behaviorally, if a child cannot compete academically, if a student is not willing to conform in terms of of a certain culture at that school, they have the option of removing that child. Even with that said, they are not performing, if you look at test scores and the like, as the barometer, which so many people do, they're still not outperforming or performing as well as traditional public schools. I also have a problem with the fact that many of these charters are run by for-profit entities. And if charter schools were such a great phenomenon, why wouldn't we see them in Okemos? Why wouldn't we see them in Brighton? Why wouldn't we see them in Birmingham and Sterling Heights and Utica? Why don't we see them in the Albion area? They tend to be in largely urban areas that are heavily populated with people of color, and there's an opportunity for profit. Now, having said all that, I must acknowledge that there are some successful charter schools. And for those successful charter schools that are doing it the right way, you know, we commend them. I'm all for competition, but let that playing field be level. Compel them to take special needs children like we have to. 13% of the children attending Detroit Public Schools are children with special needs. But in the charters in and around the city of Detroit, the special needs population represents less than 1%. But yet, their scores and their performance are factored into our school's performance, so therefore you have an unlevel playing field.
All right, final question for you. As the child of a single parent, as a child who was in situations where we were living out of our car and we were hungry, I understand what the challenge can be for a single parent. That seems to be at the core of so many challenges, poverty and the lack of parental leadership for children, especially in areas around Detroit. What can we do to change that culture?
There are two major things I think we have to do. I think, first of all, we have to realize we have to meet our children where they are. Whatever their circumstances are, whatever their academic proficiency level may be, we have to meet them where they are. Secondly, we have to incorporate, and I mean, it must be mandated that we incorporate the necessary support services that are required in order to address the academic educational needs of our children. So if that means we have to have social workers and psychologists and school nurses in order to educate the whole child, fine. We have to have wraparound services where we make sure that our children are getting the proper care, fine. Because, Tony, consider this. Somewhere in our schools throughout the state of Michigan, not in Detroit, there's a young man, a little boy or a little girl who sits at the back of the classroom and can't see the board because he or she has never had their vision screened. But yet they don't let anybody know that they can't see the board, or they think that everybody sees it the way that they see it. Or some children have a hearing impediment and think that everybody hears the way that they do because they've never had proper hearing screening. We have to address that. When I came up in Detroit Public Schools, we had vision screenings and hearing tests every single year. Now, you cannot tell me that the richest, most powerful nation ever known to man cannot properly invest in its education system so that those services can be provided, even if it means we have to partner with health care organizations. I mean, you know, there has to be a way, and I know that there is a way, for us to make sure that we educate the whole child, including making sure that we address those impediments to that child's willingness and ability to learn.
Keith Johnson is the president of the Detroit Federation of Teachers. Keith, I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Have a great weekend and stay dry.